Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
G'day and welcome to Conversations About Light. I'm not your host, Caleb. I'm Jim.
I love it. Jim, what are we talking about today?
We are continuing in our series on being eternally human, and we are talking about how we look at ourselves, maybe our bodies in particular.
I love it. And yeah, that was an amazing introduction, and I feel like a weight's been lifted, so I can finally step down as host.
No.
So what do you reckon, Josh?
Jibs. Great job, Jim.
Yeah, great job.
Well, then should I ask Caleb a question that he wasn't expecting?
Why just me? Why not me and Josh?
I don't have anything prepared. I hope you have something.
No, Jim, you've committed now.
No.
Yeah, I love that introduction. So, yeah, I feel very welcome. Do you feel
I'm
Josh?
I'm very welcomed.
Great. Well, before we jump into today's text, which Jib's so kindly going to read for us, is the question I had for you is, if someone had to write a biography on your life, what would it be entitled?
Gee. Don't do this.
And what would the cover picture be, Josh? Is it...
Well, it couldn't be my face. It'd have to be something else.
All right, we've got a don't do this.
Don't do this. Wow.
I'd love to explore that a bit more. Like, what particularly aren't we doing? Well,
so many things. I can't go into detail here. I only have 20 minutes.
Interesting, because it wouldn't apply to me just a few years ago. But right now, I'd probably go with the pastor and the game developer, because it's just an unusual vocational combination, and so that might be an eye-catching one.
For a split second, I thought you said gang developer, and I was just like, that is very interesting.
Yeah, I help gangs grow. Yeah.
Gangsters gonna gang, right?
Gangsters gonna gang. Very cool. Well, with that said, Jib,
yeah,
why don't you take us away?
Oh, sure. Okay, so we're reading 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Wow, Jib, I think you could do this whole thing on your own.
That's right. Should we just take a break?
Yeah. No. We're going to take five. Jib's going to finish off the conversation with himself.
That's kind of you.
Yeah. All jokes aside, it's a great, great scripture for this topic of self or body image. What's some thoughts that we're noticing from this scripture?
Yeah, I think on the topic of body image and self image, our culture spends a lot of time there. A lot of, you know... self-esteem, but also the idol of body image is huge in our culture. And Paul describing here the body as of dust. I think we've kind of touched on this in some of the other podcasts. It's of dust. It's going to pass away. And then it's going to be raised glorious and immortal. But I think the space that we deal with this is in our daily habits of how we think about ourselves, how we think about our bodies, and what do we do with that. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation. The main thing I notice in that text is we are of dust, and that's kind of, you can't stop the wrinkles, I guess.
Yeah, very good.
Your
no
wrinkles.
Matter how many cream, I have no cream on my face today, as you can tell. Many wrinkles.
You're glowing, Josh. I'm glowing. What about you, Jib? What's
I really like the image of sowing seeds. It's sort of not a beautiful picture of this life, that we are seeds that are being sown, and that's helpful, because you don't take a seed and put it behind glass and frame it and try and preserve it for as long as possible, because then that seed will die and it will be dead properly. Rather, you've got to sow the seed, you've got to stick it in some dirt, you've got to get it wet and muddy, and then it'll spring to life that you couldn't predict what that life looked like from looking at the seed alone. To take away that preciousness with the seed, that to take away that preciousness with our bodies, without dishonoring our bodies, but to take away that preciousness of the body or with our bodies, I think that's a beautiful way to illustrate that.
Very good.
Yeah. I wonder, as Christians, what our approach should be in terms of the way we should view ourselves. I think our culture has this very dominant perspective of youthfulness and we idolize youthfulness. So I wonder how, as Christians, we should see ourselves. And we touched a bit on it last week, but I'd love to maybe see if what your guys' thoughts on this idea of growing old gracefully.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very real struggle in the Western culture. If you are breathing that air since you're born, you know, there's almost, it's inescapable in a sense if you grew up in the West. So it's a very, very real struggle. How should we be thinking of it as Christians? We certainly have to be swimming upstream, surely. We can't be swimming, you know, in downstream, joining that party. And I think David, this text puts, you know, the current with the future glory, but David really talks to the body image, I think, in Psalm, I'm thinking of Psalm 139, where he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know it full well. You know my whole frame, God. You knit me together. And so he has this view of his current body, the dust one that he's got.
Yeah.
And it's, God, you knit me. You know every part of me. You know my deepest inner parts. Yeah. You knit me. And it's wonderful. In fact, he goes even higher in that psalm where he says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the Christian perspective, that God has made me. He's knit me together wonderfully, and I praise him for it. What a testimony, what a framework, what a glorious hymn of praise to God to be able to live like that. And I think that's what the scripture holds out as a godly view of the body. It's not overinflated and ultimately crushing because you have to look like something or have to be like something. It's gloriously rejoicing that God has made me who I am, and he knows it. And if he knew it and did it, it's good. That's the doctrine. If God knew it and he did it, it must be good. Yeah. And so that's hard to believe. And like I said, in the current culture, you will be hard-pressed to get your heart to that place and believe that. Yeah,
yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, it's really easy for everyone, I think, to get something good. Every good and perfect gift is from God, as we read in James. Quite common for us to receive a good and perfect gift and cling to it and hold on to it tightly and try to have it for as long as we can and use it however we like and protect it and be precious with it. And as we squeeze it tightly, watch it kind of squeeze out from between our fingers and pour out. And that can apply to all sorts of things. It can apply to a job or a place to live or a relationship, a friendship. There are so many ways it can be applied. That everyone experiences that their health, their body at some point is probably the best it's going to ever be and will decline. And it's so, we all experience, I think, that desire to hold on to being the best we've ever been or being like, oh, well, if I do things a bit differently, maybe I can still get better. You know, I can still be in the best health, fitness of my life. And there's some truth there. For periods of time, but the culture definitely points to look at these influencers, these actors and actresses who at 50 don't look any different to they did when they were doing movies in the 2000s. You know, the culture really makes it look like we can cling to youth, and that we should celebrate that. And it's just like anything else where God has given us something not to be held on to, but rather just to be used for his glory.
Yeah. And I can empathize with that in terms of how we are hard-pressed within this culture to hold on to this view that God has of us, because you flip onto social media and Instagram or
for sure.
TikTok or whatever it might be, and it's this like endless scroll of people's highlight reels, their perfection or their curated image of what life should look like, what the body should look like, and that's what we're up against and what society is sort of facing every moment of the day.
I think you're right, Caleb. And going back to your question about aging, that kind of pushes against that. Like the culture wants you not to age. Yeah. You know, right. Wow. What a how incorrect is that in God's economy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like God, you know, God given us days. He's knit us together. He knows our frame, and He knows that He remembers that we are of dust and how feeble our frame is. You know. And I think learning to age well. So there's a whole can of worms there, right? How far is too far with all this? And I think you were speaking earlier, Caleb, about it, when it becomes an idol. So is it wrong to have a shower? No, that's great because you're looking after your body. Is it good to honor your body? Yes. Is it good to have physical training as of some value? Of course. Is it good to look up? Yeah, of course it is. But then where's the tipping point where it becomes something that you're consuming and desiring more as a unhelpful priority? So. Yeah. And you go into areas of, you know, cosmetic surgery, getting horns put in your head. Some people love to do that because they think it looks good. I'm going to the extreme because I don't want to draw a line somewhere. Do you know what I mean? And I don't think there is a line directly. The line is when your heart becomes consumed by that. And some of the indicators could be how much time do you spend thinking about your body image? Or pondering, I wish I looked, I wish I wasn't, I need to do this. So if that's consuming you, that's a good indicator that it's holding an unhelpful place of priority in your life where, you know, so by all means shower. what consumes us, I guess. Yeah.
And it's something that connects with the other aspects, other things that we're looking at through this resurrection lens. Like we talked already about a couple of weeks ago about holy sexuality, for example. I think part of the emphasis on body image these days comes from how sexuality is presented to people. I think culturally for a while in media, women especially were objectified in all sorts of ways and then kind of moved to, that's unfair on women. We need to objectify men as well. Right. And so I'm not saying they happen in equal amounts now, but I think we've seen the impact on women's self-esteem and more recently on men's self-esteem because they're just following the same pattern. Yeah. And it's quite a sad thing that our culture encourages us to really occupy ourselves. I think Josh really hit the nail on the head where it is about where your heart's at rather than anything else. How are you occupying yourself? What's worrying you? What are you hoping for? What are you expecting to find your security in? Is it in how you look? Is it in how people perceive you? It's very easy for it to be in this culture.
I think also, Jib, what you mentioned there about like it affecting your self-esteem. So what you do with your body matters, but also how you view your body matters. But then this kind of, we're also talking about self-image, how you view yourself.
Yeah.
And these things then begin to shape your emotions and your mental state as well, which we've spoken about previously. But and the Bible never separates these as, you know, separate areas.
Yeah.
How you think will affect your emotions, what you do with your body. So I love what you're saying, Jib, that it's not just a purely an image problem. It now becomes an emotional and a mental struggle as well, where we kind of view ourselves, I don't look young enough or I don't feel good enough about myself, and those are the kind of downstream effects of some of this, the pressure of what society puts on us.
And it's really what's the word? It's a really destructive, like, idea that's entered into society because if you look at body image and the way God created us is that we bear His image, so we're image bearers of God, and that's the lies we're being told constantly are we're not good enough, we're not like this person, or we should do this to be loved, to be affirmed, to be valued, to be seen. So in our community, I wonder how we can walk this journey with each other, because it is such a destructive idea that's infiltrated every area of our humanity, I suppose, like what you're touching on, Josh. It sort of enters into mental health, enters into emotional health, this idea of body image. So I wonder how we can journey with one another and with ourselves to find hope in we're image bearers of God and find life in that.
Yeah, I think it's something that we can talk to each other about and reflect with each other, especially someone you're a close friend with or anyone really you trust, and say, if this is the thing, this is the biggest thing, where if I lost it or if it was taken away from me, I'd be mortified. Mm. And it's okay to not want to lose the things that God has given us. But it's a question that helps us maybe figure out what our idols are, what it is about ourselves that we're most attached to. And identifying that is a big part of it, and saying, can you help me? Can we talk about it? And can you help me see that I really am first and foremost a child of God, that my image is first and foremost God's image. And it's not in my physical strength. It's not in how young I look. It's not in how people desire me, but it is in how God made me. And so to be able to sit down with someone and share and reflect on those things together is really helpful, because we can continue those conversations with each other and remind each other that we really are first and foremost children of God. We are really first and foremost co-heirs in Christ. And that's awesome.
I think pushing back against the culture. So, you know, just speaking the gospel to each other, take Psalm 139. God fearfully and wonderfully made you. I think speaking the hope as well, that kind of scripture we started with, that one day the body will be made glorious again. And that's kind of hopeful. You know, the non-believer, I can understand, he's just trying to get to perfect physical appearance or perfect self-image, perfectly loving himself, and he can never get there.
Yeah.
That's so sad. It's so depressing in a sense, you know. So, it's like in something you can never have, whereas the believer knows, well, one day my body's going to work perfectly. It's going to be just amazing, and I don't have that fear. And I think to remind ourselves, reminding each other of that is hopeful. Because the body does have weaknesses.
Yeah.
So reminding of hopeful, but also speaking the gospel that God made you exactly how you are. He knit you together and it's good, and he knows, and he made you, and that's good.
Yeah.
So those are very countercultural conversations. They won't roll off your tongue.
Yeah, absolutely.
but learning to speak them, I think, is good.
Yeah. And also that God made us as we are purposefully.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think when we idolize something, we try and find meaning in it often.
Yes.
And so rather than finding meaning or purpose in being the best looking in the room or being the fittest or the strongest or the most desired, or in just clinging to a level of health and strength and youth that you enjoyed, to know that whatever our current state, God has a purpose for it. And it is for his glory, it's for the growing of his kingdom, it's for the good of us and those around us. Those are wonderful things.
Yeah.
God, help me fulfill the purpose with which you've made me. Show me that purpose, because God really has meaning for every single one of us. And it's when we don't look to him for meaning that we make idols out of other things.
And there's some goodness, I think, as we honor the body together. Like, you know, going for a walk with someone's a good idea. So it has value. If you make someone a meal, don't bring KFC, bring some beautiful, healthy meal. No, talking about health, giving each other tips and engaging, doing that together is also helpful, I think, compared to doing it by yourself. You kind of get lost. Whereas I know, like, Anna, when she was gymming, she had a few gym partners and they let her down a lot. So she was like, oh, they just never turn up. And then someone who does turn up is super encouraging, because it's like you have to get out there and be there, because they're going to be there. So I think we can help each other on a practical level as well, with, you know, for everything from exercise to food as well. It's good.
Yeah, I think that's been clear over the course of this, but just to make it really clear, we're not dismissing taking care of oneself.
Yeah.
We're not dismissing even like trying to be in very good shape or trying to look one's best or present oneself well. We're not dismissing those at all. And Josh said it really well where he drew the line in the heart, I think.
Yeah, very good. I wonder, in closing, if action that we can sort of take going into this week is maybe starting that conversation with someone you trust and saying either like, hey, this is how I'm feeling about myself, being vulnerable in that state, and asking for the body of believers to speak to you what it means to be an image bearer of God and speak those truths of we're fearful and wonderfully made, or to enter into that conversation with a friend and just check in and see how they're going and how you can be an encouragement with these if they're struggling with an area, or to not actually as believers to be courageous and step into that conversation. And maybe it is making a healthy meal or finding a gym partner or something like that. Maybe it is one of those things, or maybe it is honoring your body by just reading scripture together and starting at that place.
Very good, Caleb. I would encourage you to believe the doctrine. Now that sounds out there, but the point is we are so indoctrinated by our culture on this issue. So a practical step you could take is to take Psalm 139, if you struggle with this, and just read it every day or once a week or something, and just until you and speak the doctrine to yourself, until you to change your belief. If you're on social media all the time, you're getting however many hours a week of that doctrine. You need the doctrine of the scriptures. And so I know I'm talking doctrine here, but honestly, it's so practical. And to change your belief on this, you just need to read Psalm. That would be my encouragement. Read Psalm 139 over and over again until your doctrine changes, which will absolutely shape your life.
What a great place to start. That's great.